Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson. I'll introduce this guy to my left in just a second. But Dr. Ray Pritchard is joining us from Kansas City, KC. Ray, tell us a little bit about Keep Believing Ministries. What's happening over there at your website?
We are reading the Bible. We've been reading the Bible all year long. Got on the Bible bus in January, started chugging up the big hill of God's Word. And here we are in the middle of October. We've been going back and forth reading video online and also audio podcast, Old Testament, New Testament books interspersed. And so today we're in the book of Galatians, Galatians 3 and 4. Let me just say, folks, if you've been thinking about you'd like to read the Bible, come read it with me. I read it out loud every day, post the video 7 o'clock in the morning Central Time. You can find it and all the videos so far from January the 1st up through today at keepbelieving.com. So come and join us as we read God's Word together. We're going to, Ed, by God's grace, we're going to finish on December the 31st, Revelation 20, 21, and 22.
And I think we've asked you this before. This will be available go in 2024, right? In other words, you won't do it again. People can do it all over.
once is plenty. It is a huge. There's 750,000 words in the Bible, and you realize it when you pick it up, but you start reading it. It's a big book. So no, the videos are going to be there 24/7 online, keepbelieving.com, also YouTube, Facebook, and so on. We hope and pray until Jesus comes again.
You mean the Bible's not updated?
No, we are reading the 2,000-year-old version, Fred.
All right, not
this newfangled stuff.
That's right.
So it's not the Message Bible, is what you're saying, right?
No, this is actually I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible, which most of the time, sometimes the 1984 NIV, sometimes. Let me I just throw in here just to confuse everybody. Why not, right?
Right.
If you're looking for a new translation to read that's conservative, but probably you didn't know about, check out the Berean Standard Bible. You ever heard of it? You guys ever heard of that?
No.
The Berean Standard Bible. I know it's on YouVersion in their long list of versions. Came out about 7 years ago. I think almost nobody knows about it, but a group of conservative Bible scholars put it together, the Berean Standard Bible, and the more I read it, the more I like it.
Wow.
Well, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to have to check it out and compare the Greek. I'll read it in the Greek and just make sure that the translation. It's been a long time since I had New Testament Greek, so. All right, Steve Jordahl. By the way, thank you for that, Ray. Folks, check it out, keepbelieving.com. Steve Jordahl joins us. First of all, short sleeve shirt.
Yeah, I'm celebrating the Senate's new dress code by dressing in short sleeves today.
Looks good. You always have colorful shirts on, most of the time, colorful shirts on. So no paisley, but flowered.
Flowers.
Well, I'm sure glad you didn't come with the Fetterman dress code.
You
would have been wearing some.
I guess everybody knows what we're talking about.
Well, let Steve speak. What's the Fetterman dress code? What is that all about?
The Senate, Chuck Schumer and the Senate leadership passed new dress code requirements. Well, they loosened the dress code for the Senate because of Senator Fetterman, who tends to dress kind of like a homeless person.
Oh man.
Hoodies and shorts and gym shorts.
Yeah.
Very, very casual. And there had been a dress code on the Senate floor. You had to wear a suit and tie. So Fetterman has been voting from the door of the Senate cloakroom. I mean, he's been standing at the door and telling people how he votes, but he hadn't stepped a foot on the Senate floor. So in order to accommodate him, Chuck Schumer says, well, senators may now dress more casually. I don't know exactly what the wording is, but in spirit is anything goes. Now, if you are a guest on the floor or if you are in the Senate gallery, still have to have business dress. You still have to dress the part.
Republican Senator Susan Collins said that if they're going to do this, she might have to wear a bathing suit.
You can't unhear this, so be careful.
And I don't know. People shuddered in horror at the thought of that, like they would if I said it.
Well, I mean, Susan Collins is an attractive older lady from Maine, and I'm not saying anything about her, but I mean, at her, she's 70-something.
Yes.
And she threatened to, you said that she could now come in a bikini. That just don't go there.
Yes. No, that's, but
now
but,
I have a semi-serious question about this. Had that not been the dress code that was repealed or revoked,
right?
Hadn't it been there almost forever?
Oh, yes.
I mean, this is,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember the first time I had to go to the Capitol. On business,
yeah,
there was a dress code that you have to have,
right?
If you're going there, it's in place. You know, you're expected to wear a dark collared suit
and tie.
Yes,
for men.
That's just expected. In fact, if you work even in an off office, you know, up away from the Capitol, but you're in government, the expectation is you would never come to the office dressed like John Fetterman. So
he was just basically rebelling against the rules by saying, "Fine,
yeah,
I'll vote from the doorway."
Yes, because
he was obeying the rules.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is, rather than wear what's appropriate for a Senate, a senator, according to the dress code, he's saying, "I'm wearing the shorts and the hoodie, but I'll conduct my business from the door."
Yeah, there. You know, we're laughing about this, but there's also been some serious reaction to this. And they really feel this is another indication of the watering down of standards in Washington.
Right.
I mean, what next? What is the restriction now from Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader? If you can go in dressed like this, are there any bottom lines anymore? Right. I mean, can you wear your pajamas in there?
Well, I guess we'll find out.
I might not use the term bottom line, but yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, no. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. So anyway, that's the Fetterman dress code thing.
To be technical about it, the Schumer says that the sergeant at arms is no longer required to enforce the dress code. I suppose it's still there. They haven't changed it to a new standard, but now they are not going to enforce the dress code for members.
Okay. Same thing?
Yeah.
All right, Steve, what else?
All right. I want to, this is, you talk about like getting what you vote for. Democrats in Chicago have been voting for their sanctuary city, their Democrat members of Congress and local members. There's a town hall recently where a local, I believe it was a state Democrat, was conducting the town hall, and the people of Chicago are starting to be a little upset with the amount of illegal immigrants that are landing in Chicago. It's creating a little bit of an inconvenience for them all, so I want you to hear. This is a Democrat congressperson, or a state Democrat, and the person who's speaking is a lady. I only can guess. It's about a 90% chance that this woman has voted for her leadership Democrat. But listen to what her request is. Cut 12.
So if there is a capacity limit, and what is that limit if there is one? And why can't we close the borders of Chicago or the state of Illinois in the first place? Why can't we close the borders?
Why can't we close the borders of Chicago and Illinois?
Hey.
Let Texas have their border open. The United States, you know, we want to welcome everybody, but let's close the borders of Chicago.
Well, Ray, I got to tell you, the question certainly manifests this lady's frustration, but she's wrong. Once they're in the country, you can't close borders of states. That's part of the system we have. She does not seem to be willing to say what Steve just said, and that is the border should be closed on the southern border and increasingly even the border with Canada, or you can't stop them from going to Chicago?
Well, my sympathies are with her because Chicago is a mess. And I've said this before, I love Chicago. Spent 17 years pastoring in the Chicago area. Love the city. But the idea, what are you going to build a fence between Illinois and Indiana?
Yes, no. And Mexico's going to pay for it.
And Mexico's going to pay for it. That's not going to work. There's no fence to be put around the city of Chicago. If you want to stop this illegal immigration, you got to do it down at the border itself. That's the only hope. And I don't think she's really willing to go there and do that.
Right. I will say, I didn't include this in the cut, but the representative that was conducting the town hall just blatantly lied to everybody, because what he said was, they come in, and if they claim asylum, then the government will give them certain rights, and then they can go wherever they want. But it's not the government. He says it's Abbott who is busing them and taking them and sending them to Chicago. That's who's responsible. Abbott is, because he's sending them to Chicago, deciding they all have to go to Chicago, right, which is a blatant lie. People can go. They choose to go to Chicago.
Or New York.
Or New York or wherever. I mean, I don't know why they don't all choose to go to San Diego, frankly, because, I mean, you know, the weather.
I think they want to get as far away from the border as possible.
That's true.
Well, there was an interesting protest similar to what happened in Chicago there in New York last week. I don't know if you folks saw this. But to show you how tone deaf even the New York members of Congress, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Jerry Nadler, they're both Democrat congressmen from New York. They went downtown New York. There's over 100,000 now illegals that have descended on New York City. They went downtown to hold a news conference. This is how tone deaf they are. And they wanted to celebrate the fact that there was a processing center being set up to help these illegals get vaccinations and, set them up in housing and all this sort of thing. Well, people in New York descended upon that street news conference and shouted them down. And they just had their little speeches, Jerry Nadler and AOC, in front of them, and they kept talking. These folks are saying, shut down the southern border. We cannot take anymore. And they said, and it was like, we're not going to listen to you. We're not going to deal with reality. We just got this nice little speech in front of us, and we're going to give it. Well, the people of New York are fed up. I mean, what's happening there? There are kids, obviously, who can't speak English, are being put in public schools. What are the public schools supposed to do with that? It's just, they're putting illegals on soccer fields and putting them in tents. I think I mentioned this last week. What's going to happen when winter weather arrives?
Yeah.
What are they going to do with these folks? They're not going anywhere, by the way. These 125,000, I think it is now, they're not going anywhere.
Well, first of all, you're not going to talk over New Yorkers who are protesting.
No.
That's a loud crowd. Mm-hmm. Second of all, 125,000 additional people, even for a city as large as New York City, almost 8 million, I think, in 2023. They've lost some population. But 125,000 people who are not productive.
Yes.
Okay. In other words, they don't have jobs. They're not, paying rent. Mm-hmm. Or they're just hanging out. And for a city to have to take care of a number that large, that is going to overwhelm. That's why Eric Adams, the mayor, is crying foul, because you are not, that's a huge number of people that you've got to care for, as if they cannot care at all for themselves. So New York City, and it's only going to get worse. And as you said, when winter gets here, you're going to have some of these people freezing to death.
Yeah.
So.
But these Democrats, like Eric Adams, the mayor of Chicago, and all those sort of things, they never said a word about what was going on our southern border.
Right.
They didn't care when it was Texas having to absorb all of this.
Right.
But when these folks moved north, all of a sudden, now they're caring a bit.
All well, right. And here's where some of these illegal aliens might land. There is a developer His name is Trey. Where'd I head here? Trey Harris, William Trey Harris, who has bought about 60 square miles north of Houston. And he has, it's a development, it is the fastest growing development within the USA, and illegals are flocking there. He is lending them money without a credit rating, without any kind of needing for ID. He's just lending them money, and they are building houses. It's half tent city, half housing that's not quite hooked up. The other third half would be housing that is on the ground there. And it is massive, and it is sprawling, and it may soon have up to 200,000 immigrants in this city. It's called Colony Ridge, Texas, north of Houston. There is some people went up in a helicopter. The Daily Wire went up in a helicopter and recorded this thing, and it looks like a sprawling city. It is massive.
Well, you showed me a picture of this morning in our story meeting. And Ray, I got to tell you, I was stunned by it. Steve talked about maybe close to 200, what did you say, 200,000 people? Well,
right now there's about 70,000, but they say it could grow up to 200,000 soon. By the way, it is also known to be a haven for cartel activity and drug activity.
Well, what a shocker.
Yeah, what could go wrong?
Ray, listen, I don't know where this ends. In terms of the Biden administration's policy of no borders, because that's essentially what it is. We've reported on the fact that young Chinese men are coming across the border that clearly could be spies, saboteurs in the event of a military conflict between our nation and China, if China invades Taiwan, for example. But just in terms of drug cartels getting established in U.S. cities, and then the innocent people who are trying to find a better life but who are enduring the horrors of coming up through Latin America and then being, bussed to cities like New York, Chicago, and now this Colony Ridge. I don't know where this thing ends other than utter disaster.
Well, let's be clear. There is no crisis on the southern border. This is exactly what Joe Biden and his administration wanted to happen. They wanted, essentially, to have an open border between us and Mexico. Essentially, that's exactly what we've got. So where does it end? If a nation doesn't have secure borders, how can it really be called a nation? If you can't control who comes in, if you're not willing to control who comes in and who goes out, then how can you really call yourself a nation at all? I think the end of it is, there is a crisis. I was only saying what the Biden administration says, but it is going to get much, much worse. And as long as the Democrats are in power, there's going to be no change. There's going to be a change of administration, I think, for the situation on the southern border to improve.
Steve, when did you discover this? This is the first I've ever heard of this.
Well, I have a news feed that I read. It's called Citizen Free Press. CitizenFreePress.com, and it is on the, it's just a list. It's like a Drudge Report, except
right.
It's still kind of conservative. And it's on its website. It just had two inside Cartel City, Colony Ridge, and helicopter view of Colony Ridge. It's the Daily Wire, basically, which has uncovered this. So that's where I found it, and the Daily Wire is a legitimate news source.
Right. Is that Ben Shapiro's
outfit? Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It is.
All right. What else?
All right. Well, I tell you, I wanted some sad news. We know that the January 6th trials have been going on, and that the sentences that have been handed out have been inordinately strict and severe, mostly from one particular judge, Chutkan. Well, there's a gentleman, he's 22 years old. His name is Jord Meacham. And he was recently convicted and sentenced, and he has committed suicide. He's 22 years old. He was actually sentenced by Judge Reggie Walton, one of the also one of the nation's most strident January 6th judges. But he's the fourth known January 6th defendant to commit suicide rather than spend these times in jail. He's 22 years old. The sickening thing is that the left, some people on the left, not everybody, are celebrating this. One of
this young man committing suicide.
One of the posters said, J6 terrorists, called him his words, did this to themselves, too cowardly to stand trial. I'm good with that. Go ahead.
So this, how long was this young man sentenced for? Does the story say what his sentence was?
He was arrested and charged with four common misdemeanors. Scheduled arraignment. He was going to be arraigned, so I don't think he'd had his sentence handed down yet.
All right. It's very sad, and this judge, Tanya Chutkan.
She was not the judge in this case, but she has been the judge in many other cases.
Yeah, she sentences January 6th folks for longer sentences than even the Justice Department has requested.
Yeah, and I have one example here of a guy named Stacey Wade Hager. It's a gentleman, and he was sentenced to he was recommended to have 3 months of supervised probation in his home, and she sentenced him to 12 months in jail, in prison.
Yeah. This is the judge that President Trump has argued, I think now on a couple of occasions, that this judge should recuse herself from the January 6th case.
She has been stridently anti-Trump. She lies continually. This is Julie Kelly, again, has looked at the transcripts of the trial, and she's just pointing out a whole lot of stuff. For example, one of her statements is that the people that were in the Capitol, the lawmakers, were hearing screaming and yelling, and they were looking outside and seeing gallows being erected, which is one of the myths, that they were erecting gallows, and they're seeing people climbing into, it's like Game of Thrones. So she's just perpetuating these lies, and passes as facts, she got from the January 6th committee, which, as we know, was nothing more than a staged event for the cameras.
Yeah, that was a committee that Nancy Pelosi would not allow Republicans to choose their own members.
They wanted Jim Jordan and Jim Banks on there, and they didn't get them.
Right.
they did.
They got Cheney and Mary Cheney.
Adam Kinzinger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. All right, you got anything?
Yeah, as we lead,
30 seconds worth.
The Babylon Bee is reporting. By the way, the military personnel were seen in South Carolina wandering the forest, pressing the key fob on an F-35 jet. They were sitting there pressing the key fob, waiting to see if they could hear the sound of the jet.
That's funny. I was surprised at how this took off in terms of media and memes, because
you lose a $80 million dollar jet
because they asked the American people to help them find it.
Give a phone number. They did find
it, by the way. That's hilarious. Yeah. Good on
the pilot did eject safely.
Yes,
yes,
he is fine. But
return home safely, just not his plane.
Yes.
So let's keep up. That's funny. All right, folks, that's all the time we have for today's edition of Today's Issues. Dr. Ray Pritchard, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ed.
Welcome back, by the way.
You bet.
And don't forget, folks, check out keepbelieving.com. Our thanks to Fred Jackson, Chris Woodward, Steve Jordahl, Sandy Rios, and as always, our awesome, awesome Brent Creeley. Folks, we'll see you tomorrow.